This is the People's Front Room Collective. Good evening and welcome to the fourth ever People's Front Room podcast. My name's Tom Fryer and I'm here with the one and only...
You're now rocking with the best. Yes, yes. Clayton Orris Blizzard the First, baby. The People's Front Room podcast. Welcome, y'all.
We're here with the one and only long-haired wonder, Paul James Hopkins.
Ooh, he's a beauty.
The inimitable John Carney, who's going to do us a wonderful interview later on.
Hello.
What up, Johnny C? I've got to compliment you on your dress. It's absolutely astounding. Beautiful long flowing dress, betopped with a woolly jumper and an incredible headdress featuring a huge pineapple. That is beautiful.
Well, I always like to camp it up for you, Clayton.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm particularly impressed you got through the door with the big headdress on. It really is a work of art.
So shout outs to Hey Bus for standing in for Clay Blizz on the last episode.
Yes, my boy Hey Bus, what's up, bruv? Thank you very much for stepping in for me at the last minute and with absolutely every expense spared.
And before we hit off with the first track, I just want to say that we've got the People's Front Room Takeover happening on the 15th of April.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. I'm getting more and more excited about it. We're taking about 20, 30 musicians and artists down to Hastings on the Easter weekend to bring 5 hours of ceaseless, flowing, beautiful music for you all to listen to.
Relentless beauty in your face, Hastings.
That was Sleep Talking with Professional Dreamer.
Boom.
That was only out on the 24th of February. They're an act signed to Funnel Music. They've got a tour coming up, 14 dates around the UK. Tom, Freddie, Dan, Reese and Jack. They used to be called Strange and also Hanging Tree.
My favourite one's probably Reese. Which one do you like?
I like Jack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you find Reese is better, but it reminded me a little bit of Sona Farik. I don't know if anyone remembers Sona Farik, but they were a London-based band from back in the day when the day was back there. That's how that goes.
So they're connected to me through the label Funnel Music, who I've been working with recently, a new up-and-coming Bath label, which are doing really great things, actually. They're based around giving the artists a fair shot, making sure that the artists that they sign aren't indebted to any kind of long-term payback of extortionate recording fees in such a way that they get fucked over, basically, by the recording industry and ruined, well, like so many people over the years have and still do.
That model is a lot rarer these days, isn't it? The model of throwing a lot of money at bands. In the 90s, it was all the rage.
Yeah.
Throw a lot of money at a band and then watch them spend the next 5 years pissing about trying to pay you back.
Yeah, and shelf them and not put the record out. That happened to two of the people who run the label.
Right.
Both, like, at Universal spent something like $150,000 on one of their albums and never bought it out. And obviously that's someone's career that they're waiting to begin. And it just gets abandoned, and that person's left to pick up the pieces.
Well, it seems like the kind of thing that was never going to be sustainable, whatever the technological cause of the near total collapse of that whole system was in the end. It seems like that wouldn't be a sustainable business model, apart from any ideas of fairness or actually getting art out once it's been made. So it's kind of been and gone, I feel, in some ways. This got serious pretty quick, didn't it?
And on that note, we're going to play some more recorded music. This one's
recorded music!
This one's by No Go Stop, a local Bristol band again, and it's called Taiyewo and Kehinde.
What is out there?
go-go stop with Tayewa and Kehinde, a great local band. They were formerly called the Bristol Afrobeat Project. Wicked live, Marie Lister's an amazing vocalist. They were put together by the baritone sax player Ben Plocky. Last time I spoke to him, he was saying since their first album, it sounds like a nightmare of a project to get everyone together with, because there's about 12 of them or something. But when you see them all crammed onto a tiny little stage like the canteen, going for
see
it.
See the effort come into fruition.
Yeah.
See it all worth it.
So this is a message to No Go Stop from the People's Front Room, saying good luck and can't wait to hear the second album.
Yeah, do your thing. Loving that tune.
John Blakely is a brilliant Big drummer. Ups. He actually organises all the music for the canteen too, and Number One Harborside. Such a nice guy.
What up, Johnny B?
And there's loads of other brilliant players in that band. But yeah. So next up, we've got a song from Janie Lee Cohen, which is called Blues Run the Game, but it's actually a cover of a Jackson C. Frank song, am I right?
That's right, yeah. Jackson C. Frank was a folk singer from the 60s when folk was all the rage, and he was very influential. I don't think he ever became like a huge household name in the day, but he influenced a lot of people who did go on to the high levels of success, and this is one of his better known songs. Simon and Garfunkel recorded it. A lot of people have recorded it, I think. Peter, Paul and Mary, all them kind of sort of pop folk kind of acts from the 60s.
Nice. There was a big culture of recycling songs and doing covers back then, wasn't there? Like Ray Charles.
Folk music. Yeah, I mean, like it was more standard in pop music as well, but even like folk music that's what it is, you know. That's like the kind of thing I grew up with. Everyone had like their party piece or their song that they always sang. You know, they weren't necessarily writing these songs. They were just singing tunes everybody knew, you know.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
Classic folk.
Janie Lee Cohen is a singer from Bolton. She's also on Funnel Music too. It's a bit of a Funnel Music special today, you know. There's a few tracks I've picked out. They're really putting out some good stuff. So, yeah, here's the song.
Catch a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I've gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I've gone, the blues are all the same. Send off our whiskey, baby. Send off our gin. Me and room service, honey. Me and room service, babe. Me and room service, well, we're living a life of sin. When I'm not drinking, baby, you are on my mind. When I ain't sleeping, honey. When I ain't sleeping, mama. When I ain't sleeping, then you'll know. You'll find me crying. Try another city, baby, another town. Wherever I've gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I've gone, the blues come following down. Living is a gamble, baby. Loving's much the same. Wherever I've played, wherever I throw them dice, wherever I've played, the blues, they run the game. Catch a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I've gone, wherever
You're listening to the PPP People's Front Room Collective.
Let's fly, terrified over these bewildering seas. I'll flock, not stopping till we enter into easy, peaceful dreams. We'll be reaching into mystery, leaving past lives steeped in history. We'll rest in nests built on the arched spine of a giant as she leans. Flap your wings, sing with the dawn light chorus. These days they won't remain the same. Yeah. Do you believe in freedom? Does it whisper your name? Yeah. Crawling up through the open window at midnight, it leaves you restless, it leaves you breathless.
That was Toy Face with Flight, a beautiful song off their first album. It's like you were saying, Clayton, that song really leans towards their new kind of a bit more down and dirty style that we saw them play last summer, particularly at Home Wide.
That's right, in the PFR, rocking that thing. You know, I enjoyed the album. I like it, and I like that sort of that era, that collection of songs, and that time. In their writing, what they came up with is great. But then when we saw them last summer, it just absolutely blew my face off. Really sort of pushed the, like you say, the kind of slightly dirtier end of it. But still, obviously, the vocals are still really beautiful and the arrangements are really lush and full. So it's a really nice combination. And I can't wait to hear the next kind of album that they're going to come up with.
Yeah, definitely. Tamsin's voice does get pretty gritty though at points, doesn't it? When she gives it some sass and some aggression. Yeah, man, I'm feeling that. She looks so wild when she gets like that. She came on the stage one time in like a leotard and with a towel wrapped around her head.
Yeah.
That's not a look that I've seen anyone else go
for. She's crazy. That's our girl Tamsin, and that's our boys and girls from Toy Face, PFR's very own.
Who else is in Toy Face?
Who else is in Toy Face?
Wait a minute.
Who else is in Toy Face? Have we got anyone else from Toy Face in the vicinity?
A minute.
In the area? Hey, in the house tonight?
Boy, James Hopkins, yo! James Graham isn't here, no.
PJ Hopkins representing Toy Face, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up! Woo!
Good evening.
Hello, mate, right?
Yeah, very well.
Ladies and gentlemen of the People's Front Room, there now follows a serious discussion about art.
With the one and only Mr. John Carney.
Yeah, Johnny C in the building. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Clayton. How are you?
Safe, mate. John, you're an artist and you've been involved with the People's Front Room for a few years now. How do you think of your role?
Well, I suppose my role within the People's Front Room is to create things for the People's Front Room.
Physical objects, ladies
physical
and
objects. Well, maybe not always physical objects.
Not always physical
sometimes
objects.
Immaterial digital objects.
Oh.
For the People's Front Room to project
ephemera
into different environments.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, be that on a computer screen or in a tent, in a field, at a festival. I suppose my role within the People's Front Room is to just help with the sort of the vision of where we're going with the visual art within the People's Front Room and to, yeah, contribute towards that.
I suppose the interesting thing there is that the whole concept of visual art is so broad, isn't it? And as a visual artist, there's so many different things that you could be doing. Like just then you mentioned projections, be it digital or, you know, I know in some of your other artistic work throughout your life, you've done more conceptual stuff. How do you define visual art or fine art in a broad sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the People's Front Room, for example, particularly more so recently, we've been sort of gearing towards things that are potentially quite interactive. So, for example, in the People's Front Room this year, we had sound pieces that could be listened to by individuals, or we had a peep show that people could experience as well, which was...
with Ruby, was it?
Ruby? No, it wasn't Ruby. I can't believe you've forgotten her name.
What was her name?
She would be disappointed. It was Madonna.
Madonna Smith.
Madonna Smith.
That was it.
Madonna Smith, the famous Madonna Smith, the first lady.
The first lady with her wibbly naked body.
But to reference that for the people that aren't aware, that was a kind of box that you peer through in the venue to see some kind of distorted, sexualized image of a woman kind of parading herself before you in a way that is actually an absolute critique of the over-sexualization of our society at the moment.
So if you like your images sexualized and distorted, get on down to the PFR. Plenty to go around.
Well, I think it speaks a lot about the People's Front Room in general. Is the People's Front Room is a front room in the middle of a field at a festival, which in itself is very unexpected. And I think you enter the front room and within it you find other things that are very unexpected, like strange pictures hanging on walls and erotic images that make you feel not so erotic. Meandering more towards the sort of interactive mediums is definitely something that I find very interesting personally.
Mm. And I really love some of the work that you've done in videography. Actually, I think some of my favourite pieces you've done have been using old stock footage that you've gleaned from various points in history, combined with a kind of like... There was that one that you did with it, which had a kind of flashing, distorting effect. And I think you've kind of brought this different edge to the visual side of the People's Front Room that didn't exist before you came, which is of your own making, which I think is really exciting.
Mm. Oh, thank you. So I suppose with that side of things, the videography within the People's Front Room, I think... So much of what the People's Front Room is about is borrowing things from sort of different places and conjoining them in this one great big entity that is the People's Front Room. And that's sort of what I enjoyed about creating them video pieces to be projected, is that they were gathering all of this found footage from different places and using them in a way that I suppose people could find quite engaging, or maybe not so engaging. Maybe people just sort of saw them as sort of background, pretty weird images.
I like the idea that people kind of got quite freaked out by them, in a sense. You know, I think like art, in a general sense, should be challenging in many ways to the audience, the viewer, the receiver. And I like the idea of people just standing in the People's Front Room watching a band, perhaps, and then turning around and thinking, what the hell is going on there, you know?
That's going to really upset that baby in a cage over there. Disclaimer, the People's Front Room does not have or approve of babies in cages.
So you said that, obviously, we've talked about your art spanning different kind of mediums. You've worked in visual mediums a lot. What other sort of things have you done? Anything more kind of conceptual or anything in that sort of realm as an artist?
Yeah. So when I was at uni, I was very much interested in immaterial art forms. So lots of my projects that I did revolved around that, potentially things that couldn't be seen or things that were invisible or things that were completely conceptual. So for example, one of my pieces that I did was using infrasound, which is sound so low it is no longer audible. And one of the interesting properties of infrasound is that it can travel for very long distances. So I had this idea that I wanted to project it into the sky to create an artwork that was incredibly huge but couldn't be seen. Sort of big ideas I find very inspiring. And again, bringing it back to the People's Front Room and, you know, experiencing challenges when you're, you know, creating art in general, I think having something that's ambitious in thought and in nature, I find that personally very exciting. Mm. And, you know, the idea of creating something that's sort of on this huge scale is a massive driving point for me in my own practice. Mm.
And I think that's one of the really exciting things about acting together as a collective, is that together we are stronger. And as a group who has access to such a widely varied skill set with so many different brilliant musicians, and then if you combine that with people who create amazing textiles, amazing videography, amazing projections, amazing cinema with Foley sound, like we had Lloyd Starr doing last year, you create potentially a situation where the sky is the limit, I think, and you really have something which can grow beyond anything that any of us can even imagine.
Soon we will take over the world.
The PFR is going into space, baby. But it's a result. It's like a, not just the sum of its parts. It's greater than that, and it reflects the people there who make the art, in that it's this, all these seemingly disparate elements and influences come together to make one thing. But there's a lot going on within that.
Mm. Yeah, completely. And I think so often, I think people who are creative will feel themselves quite pigeonholed into a particular a particular niche of the creativity that they take part in. Mm. And I think the People's Front Room is definitely a very good catalyst for people who want to express themselves, divulging in a number of different mediums.
Branch out a bit.
Yeah.
Well, you've been doing that yourself, haven't you? Because you've been working on the website and the new PFR zine, which is going to drop soon. Drop is what the cool kids say when something is released, comes out.
And you've also been doing that because you have also been working on the PFR zine, haven't you, Mr. Clayton Blizzard?
I have, under your benevolent tutelage.
Benevolence?
You heard. and it's been a great opportunity to do that. So how have you found, say, working on the website? Because I think you were saying that's maybe something you haven't done much before, the web design.
Yeah. So working on the website was certainly a challenge, because it was learning new skills that I didn't have previously. And I think pinning down something like the People's Front Room, which is so multifaceted in nature, like there's so many different people involved with the People's Front Room, and for each of them, the People's Front Room probably means a different thing from what they get out of it. So channeling that into something like a website while still maintaining the unexpected nature that the People's Front Room has when you stumble across it at a festival, or you know, see it in whatever setting that you find it, and translating that to something that's so linear like a website was challenging, but also very rewarding. And I think for all artists or creative people, they create the best things when they're being challenged. So,
and again, we should say, as is usually the case with these kind of things, you're not doing that on your own. As much work as you put into it, there's other people involved as well. Shout out Lizzie P. And with the zine that we've been working on, you know, there's a lot of it I wouldn't have done under my own steam, or, you know, ideas I might not have had other than working with you and others, you know, to create that. So it's often a, I mean, the whole thing is a collective, and sometimes people go off and do things on their own. But it's usually a collaborative process to make the things.
Yeah, absolutely. And and working in collaboration with other people, you create things that you otherwise wouldn't have created, and you come to ideas that you otherwise wouldn't have had. And it's ultimately better to find yourself within a creative community of people, because it gives you such a diversity of input and inspiration, and you're constantly inspired by the people around you. So, as you said, the zine and also the website, but like working on you with the zine, I think we have definitely created ideas together just by having conversations with each other that we otherwise wouldn't have made, and conclusions we wouldn't have come to, and that makes it so much more far-reaching than it otherwise would have been.
Yeah, and more of an expression of the sort of the group rather than the one individual within the group.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, some people are. I think that's why it reflects quite well on it, because the zine is put together is with contributions from lots of individuals, but it's put together more collectively. So even where people are just going off and doing their own piece of writing or something, or some whatever piece of art that they're contributing, they might go away and do that on their own, but it's a collection of those things. So even if it was made individually, it's put together more collectively and collaboratively, and the whole thing reflects.
And there's a theme as well throughout which each individual piece draws from and is, you know, drawn together by. So the theme, which we'll explore more in our next episode, brings those pieces of art together and makes them continuous and cohesive.
And contiguous, even.
You might say so. You might
geographically
say so.
Speaking.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, John.
It's been a pleasure to be
Johnny
here. Thank
C.
you very much,
oh,
Tom.
Give
Thank
it up
you,
room
please.
For Johnny C. Thanks, John. Arting it up all night. Just one last question. We've got about 20, 25 seconds left. So if you could just explain quickly, what is art?
F*** you.
Spoken like a true gentleman. And that was Hannah Williams and the Affirmations with 7 a.m. to Seville, a song written by our very own Adam Holgate. Big ups, Adam. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the People's Front Room, a joke by Paul Hopkins.
Why do Russian dolls have such big egos?
I don't know, Paul. Why do they?
Well, because they're quite full of themselves.
Oh, PJ Hopkins, baby.
I will make my move now. It's taken just a little while. Had to think of my strategy. Didn't want you to beat me. Always winning, always sinning, mostly grinning. I'm taking my time. Always winning, always sinning, mostly grinning. And I'm taking my time. I said I'm taking my time. Just a little while. Had to think of my strategy. Didn't want you to beat me. No. Always winning, always sinning, mostly grinning. I'm taking my time. Always winning, always sinning, mostly grinning. And I'm taking my
That was the Duval Project, again, a Bristol band. Marie Lister singing there, the same as No Go Stop. She's a great girl. She's got a beautiful voice and great stage presence. The drummer in that band, Danny Cox, as well, is a local guy. He's absolutely brilliant, super nice guy. And Gary Aylesbrook, who put the band together, is the trumpet player from Kasabian. So, yeah, they're a sweet act. I don't know what they're doing. That song's from a couple of years ago, but I don't know if they've got anything coming up, but I'd be very interested to hear it if they do. And ladies and gentlemen, right now, I present to you the one and only Clayton Lawrence Blizzard the First.
Went to see the new Star Wars film the other day. Wasn't that good? But that's okay. Movies aren't made for me, are they? Anyway, it was all right. Riz Ahmed was in it, and Peter Cushing was in it, and the kiddie out of Rizzle Kicks, who even gets a few lines. Good for him, mind. Last time I seen him, he was in a battle rap where the other fella called him a prick, and he said, "No, you're the prick, if anyone is," or something like that. I'm sure you know about these things. And there's loads of other people in it I recognised, including Carrie Fisher, who died the day before I saw it, which made me think about all the people who died this year, like some people I knew and some people I didn't. Bowie, Cohen, Prince, George Michael, Fife Dog, the list goes on and on. But then I think about all the people I know who are still alive, who will survive the year, those I know and those I don't. And I think of all the terrible things that happened this year, that all those Review of the Year TV and radio things we'll talk about, and there's plenty of them, which will employ humour to mask the pain of change and the fear that 2017 could be even worse. But then I remember that the 20-year civil war in Colombia came to an end this year, which, if you are not from or in Colombia, you probably won't know about. But you probably should, because it might just be instructive and give us an idea how to resolve conflict. Also, this year, someone put a cash machine on Stoke's Croft that charged people a couple of quid to retrieve their own money. It lasted about 2 days of extreme graffiti before it was removed. A couple of months later, a free cash machine was installed on the wall of a takeaway just opposite the place where the first one was taken away after a few days. It might sound like nothing, but I think it has implications and demonstrates, perhaps in a crude way, at the very least, that we still can control our environment and community. Also, Leicester won the Premiership, which, to be fair, you need not care about if you are not in or from Leicester. But I heard a song about death in 2016, and the chorus floored me. One little flicker of light can erase the dark. So anyway, in the new Star Wars film, there's a holy city which appears to me to be based very deliberately on a real holy city. And in 2016, this is presumably resonant or redolent isn't Peter Cushing dead? Well, he can't be. He's in a new Star Wars film. No, I'm sure he died years ago, didn't he? And yet, here he is on the big screen, moving about and saying things and being all alive. Afterwards, I check on the internet. That's what people do these days, isn't it? And sure enough, Peter Cushing died in the 90s. And yet, here he is in the new Star Wars movie. So the conclusion, for me, I suppose, is what Peter Cushing is saying in the new Star Wars film is, "Death, where is thy sting?" Take that, 2016. Grains of sand.
it's okay. But hey, that's okay. But hey, that's okay. But hey, that's okay. This floor was a chessboard and I was the king, would you be my queen? And I read by my bedside while time moved the pieces, and I never wanted to win anyway. That's okay. But hey, that's okay. But hey, that's okay. But hey, that's okay.
That was Olmo with his amazing song, Hey, It's Okay.
That was beautiful, man. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Lush vocal.
Amazing, yeah. I found him when I was in Berlin, actually. I went there with Chaz, who couldn't be here today, unfortunately. He was going to do a live set for
Hello,
us.
Hello, Chaz. Where are you? Miss you.
I think he, I think he's poorly or something like that. Get well soon.
Where are you at?
Yeah, and actually, funny I should say that, because Chaz was actually ill when we went to Berlin, and I went off and explored the city on my own. And I went to a night run by Georgie Fisher. I saw Olmo play there, and it was one of those amazing moments in life when the music just hit me so hard in that moment that I was completely inspired. And I think it's amazing when that happens to you as an artist, because I think I spend so much of my time going to countless festivals and seeing so much music, being swamped in music, inundated with it. And it's so refreshing when something comes out of all of that and then gets you. And for me, it was that lyric about the chessboard. If I be a chessboard, will you be my queen? Because it just hit home about a relationship I was in where we played chess all the time. And it was, I lay by my bedside while time moved to pieces, and I never wanted to win anyway. And I just thought, shit, I always really wanted to win.
Well, you got to win. What's the point in playing if you're not going to win?
It got me. It was like, Tom, let go. It doesn't matter if you win or lose, mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, very powerful. I really want to, if you're listening to this, Fran, we got to get you out to the PFR sometime, man. We got to do it. It'll happen.
We'll be right back.
So that was Men Diamna, and the song was called The Girl I Found Walking Cotswold Hills, and it's from an album called Bring on the Empty Horses, which is astonishingly good, and you should all listen to it immediately. Don't talk to me until you've heard that album. It's available on Bandcamp, and you can search by the artist's name. He is Men Diamna. That's as it sounds, M-E-N-D-I-A-M-L-E-R. So Google that name and find him, and you will not be sorry that you did. He's a good friend of mine, actually, and we went on tour many years ago, probably around the time he wrote most of that album, and it was astonishing to see him every night. It was completely different every night. It was absolutely amazing just to be there and to see him play. And there was one particular gig in Aberdeen. It was a Monday night in Aberdeen, which sounds like the start of a story about a terrible gig, but it's actually the story of a brilliant gig. And we were supporting a guy called Chris TT, and Men Diamna, as he's known to the public, had a field recorder, and he said, "I'm good, you know, I want to record some of this live stuff and maybe put something out later." So in Aberdeen, me and our friend Luke, who drove us around on that tour, we sat right at the front and put the field recorder on the table in front of us, and recorded the whole gig. And halfway through one verse, it was the most quiet, respectful audience as well. People were really into it, but he still stops in the middle of one verse just to say, "No talking, please," and carry on. And it's the kind of thing that someone else could have done that, and I'd have thought, "Oh God, why do that?" But it was perfect. I don't know why, but it just all fed into the performance. So an astonishing live performer, but also a few albums available on Bandcamp, so go and get them checked out. So I think that might just be about all we have time for this month. You're listening to the fourth PFR podcast. Thank you very much for listening. And we're going to go around the room and say thanks to our guest, John Carney.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thanks for coming in. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it very much.
Great.
Oh, we enjoyed having you.
We enjoyed having you. My tech maven and our long-haired beauty is as ever, Paul James Hopkins. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for everything you do for us.
And of course, the joke about the Russian dolls.
And for the joke about the Russian dolls. And of course, my partner in crime, co-presenter, is the one and only Tom Fry Dog Fryer, everyone. Woo!
Thanks, guys. Oh, thanks, wow, that Tom. Feels great.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to leave you on some shit like this, but please don't forget about the PFR Takeover, the PFR Zine, and all the great music we've played tonight is all available. Links on the website, so you can go and find out anything you particularly liked. I would suggest you look up everything we've played, because it's all really good. So thank you very much for joining us. We're going to leave you with this. This is by a band called Zed Plus. That's the letter Z and then the sign plus. But you can find them by following the link, as I say, on the website. This album is called How to Leave a Room. It's really beautiful. It's from 2011. And it's got a really great shaker part on this song.
Who recorded that?
Oh, just some local kid. And the song we're going to leave you with, after I say big up Zed Plus, hello, how are you? We're going to leave you with this. This is called 85B.
And all of the skyline unfolds.
This is the end of the podcast here.
That was the end of the podcast. This has been the People's Front Room.